Hi, welcome to Visual Studio Toolbox. I'm your host, Robert Green, and today my guest is Cameron Skinner. Cameron, welcome.
Good to see you, Robert.
And for those of you who don't know Cameron, you should watch more keynotes and you would know Cameron. But for those of you who have skipped all the keynotes, Cameron Skinner is a general manager of Visual Studio Ultimate. General manager of Visual Studio Ultimate.
That's right.
And today, Cameron, you're going to show us some of the architecture tools that we have in the product.
That's right.
What are we hoping to accomplish with these tools? How can you use them? Mm-hmm. And I think the architecture tools are an area that maybe people are under-familiar with.
Yeah.
I know a lot of them are in Ultimate. There are people that have Ultimate, don't even know that these tools are in there.
That's true,
too. There are people
that
didn't go to Ultimate because they don't know why they should. Maybe they'll see something in here that they like.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's all accurate. And one of the things that I want to remark on is the area that I'm going to show you today is around the dependency analysis tools that we've got, and we actually did introduce those in Visual Studio 2010. Mm-hmm. But I am still constantly aware of the fact that a lot of people just still don't know that this stuff is there. They've got Ultimate and they haven't discovered this for some reason. So I want to kind of introduce folks who are watching to that particular piece of functionality, as well as talk about the new things as far as the new beta that we just released yesterday, and show you what that looks like.
It'll actually be a week ago when this airs. But
oh, okay. Yeah, that's right. That's right.
We're taping this the day after.
No, that's right. And so just basically go into kind of our thought process, why we built these tools, what they're for, that kind of thing.
Okay, awesome.
So with that, one of the things that we've really kept in front of us, and the guiding principle on how we go about designing features for Ultimate in particular, is how do we give you developers and organizations the ability to understand where you are at with your existing software. The whole idea here is understand where you're at in order to be able to move that stuff forward, be able to understand what you have so that you can make changes, so you can, more rapidly move your product line, whatever it is that you're doing, to market as quickly as possible, and in a way that will drive as much quality as possible. And a lot of that is understanding what it is, what you have, what makes it tick. What makes it problematic to make changes? Why is making changes to existing software really difficult? That's what this particular area of the software product, Visual Studio 11, is targeting for. Specifically, you'll hear me talk about DGML graphs, which is a directed graph markup language, which is behind the diagrams that I'm going to be showing you here in a second. You'll also hear, as a code word progression. It was internally, and you'll hear us talk about the Architecture Explorer to some degree as well. I'm not going to go too much into that piece. I really would just want to focus on the diagrammatic aspects and the changes we've done there. So with that, I'll kind of just jump into what this thing looks like. So here we are in the beta release, which is freely available now. You can pull that down. Apparently, a week from here, you'll know that. And what I'm going to do is I've just got a small little solution open here, a Fabricam web project, essentially. And I'm going to go up to Architecture. And this was available, the steps I'm going to show you here were actually available in Visual Studio 2010. So if you have 2010 Ultimate, you can actually do these next couple steps in that product as well. But here, I want to go into generate dependency graph, and I'm going to say for solution. And what's going to happen is Visual Studio is going to go make sure your solution builds, and then it's going to show you the dependencies between all the assemblies in that solution. Okay. Not only will it show you assemblies, it'll also show you what kind of external dependencies that this particular solution has, which we show you here in this externals box. Now, a couple little logistical things that folks should be aware of as they start to manipulate this graph is with the scroll wheel, that controls the in and out, right? In the new bits, in these bits that I'm showing you here, I can just click anywhere in the background to drag it around.
Okay.
So you can just kind of manipulate the graph pretty easily, okay? But fundamentally, what you have at this point is you have a high-level view. We call this kind of the top-down view of your solution. This can be very interesting all by itself. You'll notice in this particular graph, I've got a number of links, some of which are thicker, some of which are thinner. Okay? It's a little subtle here, but if I zoom in here a little bit more, you'll notice that this one's thinner than, say, this one.
Right.
What this is telling you is you've got deep dependencies between, you know, say this DLL and this DLL versus a lighter dependency.
Deep defined how?
Yeah. So if I hover over this link, we'll actually show you, that in this particular case, it's all there. You're depending on calls. So this is directly you're leveraging methods from this DLL to this other one. Mm-hmm. In other dependencies, it may be, hey, you're passing types around, you're newing things up or what have you. So the thicker the line, the more difficult it may be to break the dependencies, because a lot of times folks will fire up a tool like this to understand, okay, look, I need to refactor some chunk of code, right? How hard is that going to be, or how easy is it going to be? And if you've got, you know, two DLLs here that are tightly coupled, even worse, you could have a circular reference where the link goes back to that to show you, hey, this is tightly coupled in terms of a circular reference. You may have a bigger job that you need to go deal with in order to go make those kind of refactorings, okay? But along the same lines, it's also important to understand the third-party dependencies that you may have. So a lot of folks are using, you know, third-party components,
third-party frameworks.
Absolutely. Anything of that nature, or even, in this particular case, I'm showing you dependencies in your solution. You could have, lots of our customers have multi-solution kind of projects, and this would, those actual dependencies between solutions would actually show up as an external dependency here, but I'll talk a little bit about that later.
So it's then easy to go find out what those externals are?
Yes. And so what I can do is, I can go hover over this, and you'll notice, as I do this, you get a little chevron shows up. Let me drag this up a little bit. And I can expand that. And as I do, we start to explode this and start to drill into exactly what are the dependencies. So if I drag this up, you'll start to see a number of interesting things that right away you could start to understand from the system. Like, you've never seen the system before, but the fact that I'm dependent on system.web, hey, this is probably a web project, you know, that kind of thing. Look at that, I'm making use of the NUnit unit testing framework, you know, that sort of thing. I'm using Entity Framework. So I can, if I'm, imagine the situation where I'm a new dev, I'm walking in, you know, and I need to get my head around a project.
You want to know which MVVM framework this project's using.
So absolutely.
Today you have to go hunt down the references and the usings. Now you can just fire this up and see immediately.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. Further, we start to show you exactly how those dependencies, what makes those dependencies. So, for instance, if I select system.web.dll, you'll notice two links pop up. If I hover over that link, you'll see there it was. It's a little touchy in the build here. So I can jump to the other side to see exactly, you know, what's going on here, and it drills in from there. And so what the idea here is, exactly what, I'm dependent on that DLL, but am I dependent on every type in that DLL? Am I dependent on a certain namespace? What have you? I can quickly drill into this to figure out exactly what is the type of dependency that I have. Mm-hmm. So I can drill into the system.web DLL, and I notice I'm only dependent on two namespaces in that DLL, right? Further, I could start to figure out, okay, well, exactly what in system.web am I dependent on? Well, it turns out I'm only dependent on one type in this particular case, HTTP application. Mm-hmm. So we're only going to show you what your software is actually using. We're not going to show you every type, every namespace in these DLLs. So that itself can help you get up to speed with what's going on in your app. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. So, like I said, this particular thing, and I'm just going to double click, and that'll zoom out. I can also use this little navigation aid over here. Double click on a group zooms me in. I can continue to drill in and analyze my system from the top down. Remember, I did this like, hey, show me the whole solution. And I'll come back to that in a second, but keep that in mind as I start to just drill in here. Let me find something. Well, in this case, I'm drilling in. Notice here's the DLL. I drill in farther. I see a number of namespaces. I drill into that namespace, and oh, look at that. I've got a type. And I can drill in all the way further and say, okay, oh, there's methods inside that type. And I can get, as I select these individual methods, I could see what they are dependent on as well. Mm-hmm. So I can really start to drill in as far as I need to really get an understanding of the nature of these dependencies in a much more fundamental way. Okay. Now, of course, at the same time, I can select one of these things and hit F12, and it takes me right to code. Right.
I was just about to ask that question.
yeah. And so, you know,
F12, go to definition.
Yep.
Can you double click on it and go, or is it just F12?
No. Double click will actually
zoom in and out. Okay.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And so, if I do control minus, takes me
right.
back.
Okay.
All the visuals, the typical Visual Studio hot keystrokes, right? This is also key because, you know, a lot of times you're trying to understand, look, I'm getting my head around these dependencies in order to go make a change. Well, I want to be able to get into that code as quickly as possible. I don't want to think file system and, you know, blah, blah, blah. Just get me in there as quickly as possible. Okay. Now this, for the most part, in Visual Studio 2010, you were able to do most of this in that product. We've added a few more UI features here that wasn't in Visual Studio 2010, like you know, some nice animations like this that wasn't in 2010. We've added this new zoom bar. It's some of these niceties. But one of the key things that we've done in VS 11 is we have made it such that you can build this graph from the ground up, meaning I'm in like the Solution Explorer, and I want to start understanding this particular type. How is it used?
Yeah.
And I'll show you what this looks like. The other key piece here that we've done is we have made it so that we're not loading everything into memory all the time. So in Visual Studio 2010, you would fire this up on your solution, and you would get. You know, if it was a big solution, we'd take up a lot of memory in order to show you all this information. Now we have backed this with what we call a local DB instance, so it's all cached in a database, and we've actually opened up that database so that you as developers could go and open up the schema and actually look at that. And we think that there's going to be some very interesting third-party tools that will come out of that as well.
So is that database populated when you build the graph, or as you build the product?
I'll show you. When I click this, and I'm going to do a clean. So I'll go up to build, clean the solution, because the backend database is very smart. So it will only have to go re-index the code index if the assemblies have been changed. So because I've just blown away all of my assemblies, when I go to select generate dependency graph for solution, you'll notice here indexing the code.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
We are bulk loading. At that point, we are taking all the information that we're gathering out of these assemblies, and we're pushing them into the database at that point. If I do this again, and I close this, and I haven't rebuilt or anything, and I go and rebuild the graph, notice that was just instantaneous.
Right.
That is a significant difference between VS 11 and 2010.
And then as you add assemblies and relationships, those get built the next time you build the graph?
Yes.
Or the next time you look at the graph, it'll update the index.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
And the interesting about this, I mentioned that a lot of our customers have, you know, systems that are very large, they're cross-solutions. This is a per-user cache. So if I start opening up many of these solutions and start viewing the dependencies, we're populating this one database such that you can get a view of your whole system. It's not just limited to the solution itself.
Okay.
So that's also a new piece of the puzzle here that we've enabled in VS 11. But I mentioned the ability to start from the Solution Explorer. And this is also, I think, a more, I don't want to say realistic, because if you've got a really big system, most likely you're trying to understand a subsystem.
Piece of it.
You know
right.
what I mean? You've got some types that you just need to get your head around. And so you're going to start most likely in the Solution Explorer, the editor, or what have you. And so we really wanted to enable that workflow, and we're going to continue to push on this workflow. The stuff I'm showing you here in beta shows you kind of where we're going. We're going to add a few more queries, which I'll show you here in a second, around this. But the way this looks is, in the Solution Explorer, you can now do control semicolon, which puts you into the search.
Mm-hmm.
And here I can type, you know, alert, and see what that hits me. So I can do a quick search in the in Solution Explorer. So now I'm navigating my system, and now I want to start to view this thing. Well, now what I can do is I've got this particular type, and now what I want to do is I'm going to say I'm going to create a new graph from this type. And I've got a couple options here. I can say new dependency graph or add it to an existing. I'm just going to say new dependency graph. And this is all new in VS 11. And what that basically does is it takes that type I right-clicked on, and it throws it into the graph. All right, well, this doesn't look all exciting. But what I can now do here is I can start asking a bunch of questions. So it's like alert repository. Okay, exactly what DLL is that in? What does that look like? I can come to the graph, and I can right-click, and I can say, show the containment hierarchy.
Okay.
And that will then go and fetch and pull in, I'll zoom in a little bit, to give you an idea of, hey, there's their DLL it's in.
Mm-hmm.
It's in this particular namespace. And there's your type, right, inside that namespace. Cool. All right. Still, you know, not all exciting. What else can I do? I can now also say, I can come to this type and I can say, all right, look, show me the types that this type uses and populate that and put that on the graph. And here I start to see everything that particular type is making use of, right? So you can see that you could start to really, you know, get in there to try to understand, you're contemplating some significant change. What does that mean? What does it look like? Software dependencies still to this day are at the heart of what makes software complex. You just
right.
you didn't realize that you were dependent on such and such.
It also tells you what you need to test, excuse me, if you decide to pull this out and refactor it.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I mean,
yeah.
If you haven't covered everything on here, then immediately your tests aren't
Yeah, that's
enough.
Right. That's yeah. right. I've got a number of types I'm touching. If I go and touch alert repository,
yep.
or more importantly, if I touched alert down here,
mm-hmm.
Okay, well, you know, I should probably make sure that I'm going to test this and all these resultant types up there.
Yep.
So you're absolutely right.
You also know who to go talk to. If I'm in charge of this and you're in charge of that, then I know who to go talk to if I have issues. Or
That's right. That's right.
A lot of information there.
The other thing that we've enabled here is to start this ability to say, all right, I've now got my head around this particular type, but what about some others? And how are they related? Are they related at all?
Mm-hmm.
So if I come back over here to the Solution Explorer, let me just drag a couple out on here. Let's say, for instance, this type here, this customer repository, I can say, you know what, add that, let's add that to the existing graph,
mm-hmm.
or I can simply just drag and drop it, and just drop it, and we will put that, we're smart about, you know, how
right.
is this related? Oh, well, it's in the same DLL
mm-hmm.
that your other type was, and it's related. Now you can kind of get an idea of, oh, and they're both related to this particular type here. So now I get a good understanding that, man, if I change this thing,
right.
I'm going to have some side effects potentially up here.
Right. You then
so
might, can, you could start with that and then ask everything that this is being called from, right?
Yeah, so, and that's, yeah, what I want to be able to do is say, show types that this thing is dependent
right.
on. That's an example of a query that isn't in beta,
okay.
that will be in the RTM build.
Okay.
That's exactly right. But that's an exact
right.
example of the kind of
right.
questions that you want to be able to
answer. Because you now know that there's two repositories that use it. Presumably, there might be others, so you'd want to know.
That's right. That's right. And so on. And, you know, and one of the things is, that, you know, when I said, hey, what types is this using, I'm also getting oh, you've got implements that's implementing this interface, and so
mm-hmm.
on. So you can see how this can grow to arbitrary complexity, but through simple just gestures, and you build it up slowly. We call this the kind of like the bottoms up
right.
graph creation, and that's that. This is all new in VS 11.
Excellent.
Yeah. So a couple other things that I also wanted to show you. One of the things that you weren't able to do in VS 2010 was to really start having a conversation about, I see my what is, like this is what my code is doing. How do I start to have a conversation about where I want to go? Like, you know, how do I start to say, look, I've got these types here, and now we need to do something different with them. We've enabled the ability to change and manipulate the graph in a couple different ways now. For example, I can select these two types, and you'll notice I get this. I was showing you. Notice I get this okay. this hover. Actually, let me hold the control key here. And from here, I can do a couple of different things. And I'm going to select this button here, which is group the selected nodes. And so in this case, I'm now starting to say, now I'm getting away from the, your code looks a certain way, and now I'm enabling kind of a, you know, call it a design construct of some sort. You know, you could say, mm-hmm. hey, look, you know, I just click this and say, you know, refactor this into new, you know, DLL, perhaps.
Okay.
Right? Start to do these sorts of things. Or start to say, what does it mean if I take this guy and also add it to that? So now I can move it and add it to these things. Mm-hmm. You couldn't do these things before.
Right.
And again, this is just about
there's
how
there's no button to then go and do it.
Right? Yeah.
You're still on the hook for that.
Yeah. We haven't quite got the just make it so okay. button. No, not yet. not quite yet. But, you know, the idea to be able to grab this functionality to have that design conversation, because now I can take this graph and I can go share it with my colleagues. Now, that's one of the other things that we've enabled. In 2010, you were able to get in Ultimate, you have to have Ultimate in order to create these graphs and manipulate
right.
them. In Premium, you were able to have a read-only view.
Okay.
And now in VS 11, all the way down into Professional, you can also see a read-only view to make sharing these graphs a little bit easier for teams. Okay.
I think that's great. I mean, on a big enough team, the people doing the actual coding may just be using Pro.
Yeah.
So it's nice to be able to.
Yeah. Clearly, we want everyone using Ultimate as much as we possibly can.
Of course. Yep.
But we absolutely understand that not all teams have access to Ultimate, and so we wanted to make this a little easier to mm-hmm. deal with. Yeah. Absolutely. Just a couple other things, real quick.
And then it's just the DGML file. You just open the file.
This is I can view the DGML here. This is all backed with a DGML. So literally, I could say go to either definition or in this case like DGML, and
Ooh.
I start to see all the back end of this. And
okay. Great for third party tools that might be partying on it, but
yes.
I think I'll stick to the diagram.
Yeah, I highly recommend sticking with the diagram. Absolutely, but it is interesting because, and this gets at the strength of DGML as a markup. Although we're giving you a very source-oriented view, the real power of DGML is that it's really just nodes and links.
Yeah.
And one of the things I've talked about in the past that you will see us continue to push on is the ability to relate source artifacts with other artifacts. So, for instance, we've got a couple things on Gallery. Some of our MVPs built like work item visualizations using mm-hmm. DGML. Those sorts of things. I want to be able to link this source artifact with this requirement, with this, you know, spec, with, you know, whatever. But I want to be able to visualize it to understand, you know, how all these things are related.
Right.
That's what that enables. So if you do want to get into the nasty XML markup there.
Yeah, so you could write a tool that just a Visual Studio extension that reads that, displays this diagram, and then when you right-click on one of these, you could read the documentation, see the bugs that have been logged against it, things like that.
That's the idea.
Yeah.
Yep. we don't have that right out of the box, sure. but it's open, and there's an API around it with the Visual Studio Visualization Modeling SDK. Mm-hmm. And in that SDK that is also available now with the beta, you can actually, we've got some command line tools so you can do bulk loading of that that local DB we were talking about, mm-hmm. Get that part of your build process. We think people are going to really want to party on that, and we made that available so you can hook into that pipeline.
Could you... How hard would it be to have the graph updated every time you build? Is there that kind of automation of it?
Let's see. So every time I build, I want to keep this particular diagram around and then have it automatically refresh?
It could be closed, but uh-huh. When I build, I want my diagram updated as okay. opposed to... That's every time I open it, there's a step where the index gets built. Maybe... I don't know. Maybe yeah. I want to do it every time I build, so it's always fresh.
Yeah.
Just thinking out of the box.
Yeah, right? No. That's good. And that actually, this is a fairly this ask has been. We've heard this before, where it's just give me a refresh, you know, that kind of thing. I'd love to tell you that's in the product right now, but it isn't
okay.
yet. We need to get it there, but it's not. One of the things though that we've enabled is to let you know when it's out of date. So if we detect that the assemblies that were used to create this diagram are now no longer, they've changed for some reason, mm-hmm. You'll actually get a little gold bar along the top. It'll tell yeah. you, hey, this, you might want to just regenerate the diagram. The design point around this has been around, we should make the creation of the diagram so easy and so fast that it's really not an issue.
Right.
Now, if you start to go and annotate that like this, if I come in here and start to do... like, for instance, I'm going to add a comment, right, and say, this type needs work. The more and more I start to annotate, the mm-hmm. more the more likely you're going to want that refresh.
Right.
But this diagram is really mostly to understand what it is, have a conversation about it, what it needs to be,
mm-hmm.
go make it so, do it again.
Right. Okay.
That's the kind of the design flow that we have behind it. So,
cool.
A couple other things that I haven't really touched on. You've had this legend here. All this stuff is fully extensible. So if you want to come up with a different category and you want to represent things in a different way, you can also right click here and say, I want to categorize this. I want to give it a different category here, or come up with completely different categories.
Ooh, nice. Okay.
And from
so who
here,
worked on it, for example?
Sure,
that would be a good use of that.
Yep, and you can imagine
the state it's in, right?
True.
Green, yellow, red.
Yep. One of the things internally we're using the tool, and one of the guys has written a little tool that actually does show based on code coverage, change the color as well as the font size to show us where we don't have coverage.
Oh, nice.
Mm-hmm. And so in the DGML XML, you do have the ability to essentially write functions that control how the visual shows up based on some state, like some category you've defined. All those things are in there.
Should get him to put that on the gallery.
yeah, exactly. This is one of those things that we probably will at some point once we figure out, is it ready for prime time, that kind of thing. But at this point, once you start to tag this any which way you want, you can do all kinds of crazy things like, pull in different icon sets,
okay.
et cetera, and you start to see those pop up here. So really flexible design tool. Our target, again, is our whole purpose in this is for developers and teams to get an understanding of their current system so
right.
that they can continue to manipulate that and continue to feel the return on that investment so that they can move it forward in a way that's sensible, that's not going to, break things and fundamentally speed up the process. That's the whole point in this particular piece of functionality.
Very cool.
Cool, Robert.
All right.
So I had to show you.
Great. So if you have Ultimate and you didn't know this existed, well, now there's something to go try out. If you've downloaded the Visual Studio 11 beta, you have the Ultimate version, so mm-hmm. you can check it out. And this is a wonderful thing. I hope everyone looks into using this more, and
I hope so.
There's a ton of information that can be had on that. We've just kind of scratched the surface.
We just absolutely just did a quick flyby. That's
true. All right. Well, thanks a lot for coming on.
Thanks, Robert.
Hope you enjoyed that. We'll see you next time on Visual Studio Toolbox.